A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to them, "My Father goes on working, and so do I." But that only made them even more intent on killing him, because, not content with breaking the Sabbath, he spoke of God as his own Father, and so made himself God's equal. To this accusation, Jesus replied, "I tell you most solemnly, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, and whatever the Father does, the Son does too. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he does himself. And he will show him even greater things than these, works that will astonish you. Thus, as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so the Son gives life to anyone he chooses, for the Father judges no one. He has entrusted all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son as they honor the Father. Whoever refuses honor to the Son refuses honor to the Father who sent him. I tell you most solemnly, whoever listens to my words and believes in the one who sent me has eternal life. Without being brought to judgment, he has passed from death to life. I tell you most solemnly, the hour will come, in fact, it is here already, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and all who hear it will live. For the Father, who is the source of life, has made the Son the source of life. And because he is the Son of Man, has appointed him supreme judge. Do not be surprised at this, for the hour is coming when the dead will leave their graves at the sound of his voice. Those who did good will rise again to life, and those who did evil to condemnation. I can do nothing by myself. I can only judge as I am told to judge, and my judging is just, because my aim is to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. I tell you most solemnly, the hour will come, in fact, it is here already, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and all who hear it will live. In the Greek of this verse 25 of chapter 5 of John's Gospel, there is an immediacy which remains difficult to translate. The hour is come, and all having heard it will live. There is an interplay between present, future, and things having started in the past, continuing. The one verse really twists with tenses, which should start honing our hearing for what follows in the Gospel of John. I would like to highlight just two incidents directly to do with death, which happened before Jesus' own death and resurrection. In chapter 8, we have the woman under threat of death, and she lives. In chapter 11, we have Lazarus, who is dead, who lives again. This all gives added impetus to what Jesus says here in chapter 5 of John's Gospel. He highlights that judgment is about restoring life, and the will of the Father is intimately about restoring life. We have also heard what the condemnation looks like in John chapter 3, verse 19, that light comes into the world. A light, as we have previously heard from the prologue of the Gospel, chapter 1, verse 5, which overcomes darkness. These themes are constant and physical in John's gospel. They do not come as promises for a better future. They come as confirmation of the bettering that has started with Jesus's historical presence among us and which stretches to fulfillment. And here we are, somewhere along that pilgrimage of hope between what Jesus has already established and the life and light which will be complete in the future. All our little deaths and darknesses are also in that process. Lent reminds us that we need to make a conscious effort to die to sin and to give life to others, our works of penance and charity. We also need to make a conscious effort to receive light and life more fully on our Lenten pilgrimage. The grief we feel at the losses which eventually accumulate over a lifetime also each contain the seed of life and light, as did the fear of the woman in chapter 8 as she encounters Jesus, who disperses the murderous mob, as did the grief of Martha and Mary over Lazarus and their anger and regret at Jesus not arriving on time. So there is then the twofold task that Lent gives us: facing vice and recognizing life. God alone gives us the ability to face vice and embrace virtue. God has already given us life, often and relentlessly. Do we recognize and give thanks for those explosions of life which we have been granted? And having been granted so much life, how do we share it? There is something then for the rest of this Lenten pilgrimage, a pilgrimage in which we are called to be signs of hope. Because we recognize the fulfillment we have already received. Amen.